Welcome to the Rabbi and the CEO, separating fact from fiction and bubble mices from the bottom line. With your hosts, Rabbi David Vigler of Habata Palm Beach Gardens and CEO Mitch Zachary of Zachary Financial Consultants. Join the conversation through email, rabbi@jewishgardens.com. Watch the show on Facebook Live, facebook.com/gardensrabbi. Now here are your hosts, Rabbi David Vigler and CEO Mitch Zachary.
Separating the facts from the fiction and the Bubba Mises from the bottom line. Good morning and welcome to the Shmooze with the Rabbi and the CEO. Mick Zachary is the CEO of Zachary Financial Consultants. I'm Rabbi David Vigler of Habata Palm Beach Gardens, where you'll find traditional Jewish values for contemporary, cosmopolitan, and sophisticated Jews just like you. With us also in the studio is our producer, Steve Lapa himself, who's taken our show to a completely new level. Thank you, Steve. We're delighted. This morning on the Shmooze, we're happy to welcome to our show an international profile of the Passovers around the world. We are going to be welcoming soon the busiest Chabad rabbi in the world, at least when it comes to tefillin. Ever since the Six-Day War, the miraculous 6 days in which Israel stunned the world with her victory over enemies that outnumbered her, I think it was 40-1. Israel stunned the world with that Six-Day War victory. Ever since then, when Jews have reclaimed their authority over the Western Wall, the Chabad house at the Western Wall has been operational for 50 years every single day of the week, not on Shabbat and Yontif, because of the tefillin that is laid with every possible male over the age of 13, Jewish males over the age of 13. And what's remarkable about this is that in May 1967, a few days before the beginning of the war on June 5th, I think the war started, the Lubavitcher Rebbe came out with an extraordinary call, a passionate call, saying that when the Jewish people wear tefillin, the prophets tell us, Verau kol amei ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikra alecha v'yaru mimecha. The nations of the land will see the name of God upon you and they will fear you. When Jewish men wear tefillin, this brings the nations, our enemies, to fear us. And if we will lay tefillin with as many Jewish men as possible, we will experience a miracle of unprecedented expectations. And friends, that's exactly what happened. A war so shocking that it's actually called by its brevity the Six-Day War. What happened then, the fact that the 6 days doesn't even do it justice, because it really was in the first 90 minutes of the war that the war was really over, when the Israeli Air Force managed to bomb the entire Egyptian and Syrian Air Force while the planes were still in the ground. And the only reason they were able to do so is because the pilots somehow were asleep. They didn't get the message. There was a party the night before. They were drunk. The command, something happened, all of the above. And that, my friends, is certainly a fulfillment of the spiritual blessing that comes about through tefillin. It's in commemoration of that, that the Chabad house at the Western Wall, whose rabbi we will welcome to the show in just a few moments, he's probably laying tefillin with someone right now, it is in commemoration of that miracle and the continuation of that miracle that we at the Western Wall late to have our Chabad house, our man at the Western Wall who's laying tefillin with thousands of Jews every day. Can't wait to welcome Rabbi Shalom Weiss to Shmooze Radio in just a few short moments.
And of course, I had the distinct pleasure of being there with you. I had my own tefillin that I brought with him, but I didn't bring it all the time. So there were times I had to go over and borrow from him. And if it's the same rabbi that was there when I was with you, nice fellow.
English guy.
Yes.
Yeah, British. Yeah, very interesting guy. So it's interesting. I remember when I was a yeshiva student, I would sometimes go over there during my break from the yeshiva. I guess American students, they go in spring break. But in Israel, the yeshiva students would go to the Kotel. We'd go to the Western Wall for break. And I used to go there, I remember, on Tisha B'Av, which is the saddest day of the Jewish calendar, when we commemorate the destruction of our temple. We would go to the site of the destruction of our temple. And what an awesome experience that is, you know, to go to the site of our, of what we're commemorating 2,000 years ago and 2,600 years ago, respectively. To go there, and I would say to the guys laying tefillin at the Western Wall Chabad, I would say, guys, go take a break. Get some shade. get some cold water, I'll cover you. And I would stand there with the distinct honor of laying tefillin with Jews from every corner of the world, Jews who were by birth only, they're unsuspecting tourists. They come into Israel, they don't know much about their Jewish identity. They kind of know that they're Jewish, barely that. They would say to me, well, I'm not Jewish, but my mother's Jewish. And you know what that means. If your mother's Jewish, it means you're not half Jewish, you're 100% Jewish, as opposed to if only your father's Jewish, then you're not Jewish, which is okay. It's not at the end of the world. It's not a problem if you're not Jewish. But it's just a different classification, that's all. So we would lay tefillin with people that didn't even know that they themselves were Jewish. And giving them that bar mitzvah moment was extraordinary. It really was an extraordinary experience.
Well, you know, for me, it's only you, Rabbi Vigler, could have gotten me into the putting tefillin on, okay? Because you know, and I've told this before, maybe many of our listeners have heard this already, excuse me for repeating it, is when I was young in the 70s in New York City working in Manhattan, and these guys would come over, you're Jewish. It was very intimidating, you know? And how do you say no? When somebody asks you if you're Jewish, how do you say no?
It's hard to denounce your faith, to say no.
And so I was naive. I go, yeah, come with me. They practically grab me into the mitzvah truck.
The mitzvah mobile.
Yeah, and you put on the tefillin. And I was like, okay, I guess it wasn't so bad.
You know,
and I'm sure you've done that. Admit it, Rabbi.
Absolutely. You know why? Because, Mitch, as a Chabad rabbi, we are well aware that the extraordinary blessing that happens to someone who lays tefillin. Before you lay tefillin for the first time in your life, you're considered a karkafta.
What does that mean?
A karkafta is an Aramaic word, which is stated in the Zohar. It means a skull that has not laid tefillin. It basically means someone that hasn't yet had the extraordinary experience of laying tefillin, which once you lay tefillin, you are assured of access into heaven, into the world to come, right? So if you know, Mitch, as an accountant, as a CEO, if you knew that there was some form that your clients needed to fill out, that if they filled this form out, I don't know, they would have...
Save a lot of money.
They would save a lot of money. You know, whether or not they really wanted to do it, you would find a way. You know what I mean?
I would just do it.
Exactly. If I could lay tefillin without people's knowledge, I would do it. I would do it too. But you can't get their left arm without their approval. So that's why...
Well, you know, I just want to say to everybody who's listening, who has no clue of relating to what we're talking about, which I totally get. That was me. I always look at it almost as a form of meditation, because it's not just putting on tefillin. For me, it's recognizing how lucky I was to wake up, and then the next step, to thank God, to thank a higher being for allowing me the opportunity to live another day and to try to do mitzvahs during that day. And for me, when I start my day just being thankful for being alive and for looking for focusing all day long, any chance I get the opportunity to help somebody, what could possibly go wrong in your day? You know, it's like the Rebbetzin always says, if you're not happy, you're not doing Judaism right. And you start that happiness.
If you're not happy, you're not doing Judaism right. What a great line.
It truly is, because once you put the tefillin on and you are thankful, appreciative just for having time in this world, what could possibly go wrong?
Well, I want to take that even to another level, but that's so beautiful from a guy who, when I met you, Mitch,
refused.
You were so antagonistic.
You're refusing to
not the word antagonistic, but you were just like so suspicious about it. You know,
I was a little scarred. I was a little traumatized by those mitzvah mobile experiences.
Yeah, and I've got a great story to share with you about your experience. You know, which I experienced last night. I'm going to share with you in a few short moments. But on the line right now, we have the great distinct pleasure of welcoming to the Shmooze Rabbi Shalom Weiss of the Chabad of the Western Wall in Israel, Judaism's holiest site. Good morning, Rabbi Weiss, and welcome to the Shmooze.
Shalom Aleichem, good morning, good afternoon, and have a good Chodesh, a good month to everyone.
Can you hear?
Thank you, yes.
Is my connection?
Yeah.
Rabbi Weiss? Right. Oh, gosh. Rabbi Weiss.
Yes, I hear you guys.
Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Weiss. How are you? And welcome to the Shmooze. It's great. It's a great pleasure to have you here with us. Can you please, Rabbi Weiss, please tell us, where are you now and what's going on over there?
Well, I am right now standing at the closest place to the holiest place for us Jews, the Kotel. We are here helping Jews prepare themselves for Pesach by connecting them to Jews that come here from different places in the world, and we make sure they have a place for the Seder. We connect them to different Chabad rabbis around the world, or Seders, public Seders, or whatever they need.
Well, that's great. So right now you're at the Western Wall. How many people are there right now, approximately, in your estimation?
Right now, I would say not so busy. It's probably about 100 people.
Okay, great. Now, how many tefillin have you laid today with fellow Jews and on this day?
Me and my staff, I'd say, so far, hard to count. We've been in a couple of hundred, at least.
Wow.
So it's a slow day for you today. You know, I want to tell you guys that whenever a Jew shows up to the Western Wall Chabad house, to the tefillin stand at the entrance of the Western Wall, Rabbi Weiss will always ask him, "No, where are you from?" And he says, "I'm from Palm Beach, Florida. I'm from Saskatchewan, Alaska. I'm from Poland. I'm from Sydney, Australia." And inevitably, he knows every Chabad rabbi in the world. We got to put this Rabbi Weiss on the payroll because he connects Jews to their local Chabad rabbis in an extraordinary way. I know if at least one family that's coming to mind right now who laid tefillin for the very first time. I had a very hard time laying tefillin with them down here. But one day, the guy shows up and he tells me, sends me a message. He says, "Rabbi Vigler, I want to lay tefillin with you because of your friend Rabbi Weiss at the Western Wall." I laid tefillin with him, and from then on we bought a pair of tefillin, and it was a beautiful story. Rabbi Weiss, tell us, what is the most rewarding part of your work at the Western Wall?
Hard question to answer. The most rewarding part, I would say, is meeting Jews from all different places and helping them to reveal what's inside. They're holy neshama, they're part of Hashem that's inside them. We have Jews in many places that don't know where, don't know how to be in touch with their own personal soul, and that's our job. The Babich Rebbe sent us here to be here and help Jews be connected to who they are.
So
just last night I was here at the wall. I met a Jewish man with his son. Unfortunately, his wife isn't Jewish, his son isn't Jewish, but he's from Brazil and lives somewhere now in Italy. No connection to Judaism at all. So we helped him say the Shema, put him in touch with the Chabad in Italy so he can go for the Passover Seder.
That's my family out there in Italy. So Rabbi Weiss, tell us, what is coming up to Passover? Seems like you're going to have an extended vacation because we don't late to fill in on the 8 days of Passover.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do?
One vacation we have a year.
So what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? All the wife and kids deserve some attention also.
So good for you.
Kids out, to relax at home, spend time with the kids.
So do you actually live in the old city?
About a holiday of freedom.
Do you actually live in the old city of Jerusalem?
I unfortunately don't live in the old city itself. I live in the new city.
I got you. So tell us, Ken, what is Passover like in Jerusalem? We'd like to know here in Palm Beach. If you can share with us what Pesach is like out there in Jerusalem.
Well, it's definitely very special to be here, especially when you say next year in Jerusalem, and you know you're in Jerusalem. But our yearning when we say that as a Seder is that we all the Jews be here in Jerusalem together with us, not just in Jerusalem the way we have it now, but in the rebuilt Jerusalem. Please God, with Mashiach, and hopefully this year, like everyone said last year at the end of the Seder, next year in Jerusalem, we help them pray that within the next 2 weeks, we'll all be here in Jerusalem. All the Jews together, Mashiach now.
I mean, that, you know, it's a very unique perspective on next year in Jerusalem, on Lashana Habab Yerushalayim. We all are like hoping to be in Jerusalem, but these guys are already there, and they're just hoping that the rest of us will join them. And with that alone, in a rebuilt Jerusalem. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to The Shmooze, where we're separating the facts from the fiction and the Baba Mises from the bottom line. It's the rabbi and the CEO, Mitch Zachary, is the CEO of Zachary Financial Consultants. I'm Rabbi David Vigler of Chabad of Palm Beach Gardens. And our guest this morning, live from the Western Wall, is the director of the Chabad of the Western Wall. It's Rabbi Shalom Weiss, who is of British descent. I believe he's from Manchester. And he mans the Chabad house in Jerusalem at the Western Wall, laying tefillin with thousands of Jews every single day. Rabbi Weiss, tell us what's going on in Israel with regards to the President of the United States moving the embassy to Jerusalem around the corner from where you're located.
I don't know what's going on in the world, but over here we know that this is our capital, and it's one of the signs of Mashiach coming, that everyone's recognizing that this is the capital of the world. This is the center of the world. For us Jews, for example, we pray, every Jew prays this way, this direction. So when one of the prayers we say in the Hallow prayer is that all the nations of the world will praise God because God has done good unto us, to the Jewish people. So it's another sign that this is happening. So we know that Mashiach is very imminent.
So people are excited then, you're saying?
I guess
they would be excited if the Messiah is coming. So you feel that the president moving the embassy to Jerusalem is a sign that the Messiah is coming, the Mashiach is coming?
I hope it comes way before he moves it. Yeah.
There's not much more time.
Hopefully by Passover. So you know that the balcony, the woman's balcony at the Western Wall, you know, normally the women are out in the open at the Western Wall, but there's a tunnel over there where the men have shelter and are very comfortable to be right by the Western Wall. But the women are always out in the open. So one of our members here in Palm Beach Gardens has, together with his wife, made a very significant contribution to the Western Wall, and they've donated that beautiful balcony inside of the tunnel. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very special connection that we here in Palm Beach have with the Western Wall. Every time we go to the Western Wall, we make sure to visit the Frankel balcony to pay tribute to our friends here in Palm Beach that have supported the Western Wall. And we're just grateful to have your devotion and work out there at the Western Wall, making sure that Jews who are on the precipice, who are on the edge of their connection, are able to really connect deeply. What is your message to people who are reluctant to lay tefillin? If someone's reluctant to lay tefillin, what do you say to them to encourage them to lay tefillin?
Well, the Rebbe taught us that every Jew wants to do the mitzvah. Every Jew wants to have the connection. But we have inside us, we have our ego, we have our bodily animal soul that doesn't try to stop us from getting too connected spiritually. When you talk to a person that, you talk to his soul, and you say that your soul wants it, and you reveal that inner connection that he has, especially over here, the Kotel, people are feeling more open, that connection. Then once you tap into that, then they are much more open to do it.
You know, that's a beautiful point that you raise. When they come to the Western Wall, their soul connection is elevated. Mitch, didn't you experience that as well when you went to the Western Wall for the first time?
Well, there was no question. As soon as I touched the wall, I couldn't even pray. I was, my throat was choking up because the emotion, just touching the wall and realizing that everything I had done in my life up to that point may have been just to leave me at that moment in time to be at the wall. And if any of our listeners that have never been there and had not experienced this feeling, which is indescribable, really, it's just very spiritual. It's like an electric shock almost when you touch something after rubbing your foot on the carpet and touching something. It's just like that, except spiritual. And I strongly suggest anybody that hasn't been to the wall, look for Rabbi Weiss, get your tefillin.
You can't miss him.
Yeah. And just pray. I mean, everybody talks about putting a little envelope or a little note in the wall. That's nice, and I'm sure that makes people feel good. Just being there and touching the wall connects you spiritually to all the thousands of years of Jews that have lived prior to you.
You know, that's so powerful, Mitch, when you say that going to the Western Wall, it allows our soul, which is often dormant and often even comatose, it just sort of resuscitates the very presence of being so close to the presence of holiness, of Judaism's holiest site, where God selected to rest his presence, his divine presence in this world. Our soul senses that, and that's what you just described, where the soul comes to the fore. So whilst normally a Jew might be reluctant to lay tefillin, when they come to Rabbi Weiss, to the Western Wall, they're looking for a way to connect. And that's why Rabbi Weiss is, experience might not be able to even relate to my question. You know, when I ask him about Jews who are reluctant to lay tefillin, he might not even be able to understand the context of my question, because, you know, you're there where people's souls are vulnerable, are exposed, where they're thirsty and they're seeking. I'm here when they're seeking golf and they're seeking, you know, they're seeking a restaurant and a cruise. You know what I mean? It's a little bit of a different context I'm dealing with over there. But I do find your words to be very, very comforting, Rabbi Weiss, where you say the Chabad of the Western Wall, where you actually tell people, this is what your soul really wants. This is what you need to nurture your soul. You hear your soul is hungry. You can feel it inside of you. And this is the food that your soul needs. It doesn't need a restaurant. It doesn't need a T-bone steak. It doesn't need a falafel. What your soul needs is some tefillin, is some spiritual exposure and some spiritual connection. That's really extraordinary, you know, that you're able to describe it that way. Rabbi Weiss, have you ever been up onto the Western Wall Plaza? I'm saying up on top, where the Temple Mount is.
Rabbi, have you ever been up on Temple Mount?
Yes. Have you ever been up on the Temple Mount?
No.
Tell us why.
Hopefully today.
Tell us why you've never been there.
Yeah.
Why don't you go there?
Well, we're hoping for the day that Mashiach will come and we'll be able to go up there. We'll be pure enough to go up there and have the...
So you're saying that until Mashiach comes, we're not allowed to go there because of the laws of impurity? Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I wanted to share that with our listeners, that until Mashiach comes, we are considered in a state of impurity, and we're not allowed to go up to the Western to the Temple Mount, which is the site of the temple. Which is ironic, you know, because the Arabs don't want us there either. The Torah doesn't allow us to go there at the same time. So it's just interesting that that observant Jews mostly don't go there, but some observant Jews do go there, right?
What do you say?
Some observant Jews do go there.
The most rabbis say that you shouldn't go up there until we know how to make ourselves pure enough.
This is amazing.
Right,
live from the Western Wall. Mitch, don't you feel the power?
I'm starting to.
The energy.
I feel like I got to put my tefillin on right now.
Absolutely. I feel the holiness, the purity coming through the lines. I want to thank you, Rabbi Shalom Weiss from the Western Wall Plaza, the Chabad of the Western Wall, laying tefillin with hundreds of Jews every single day. Rabbi, do you have a final closing words before I let you go? A closing statement?
I would like to finally say that, like you said before, next year in Jerusalem, every single person has a part of Jerusalem, a little temple, their own little kotel, the Western Wall inside them. And every time you do a mitzvah, and that's a holiday of the Passover, freedom, that we are free to express ourselves, express our neshama, express our soul. So wherever we are, we can be a mobile Jerusalem, a mobile Western Wall, or a mobile temple. And by you making your Seder and finding another Jew, bring him to your Seder, find a Jew, make him happy, do a mitzvah, this will bring Mashiach now, and we'll be back here very soon.
And friends, amen. As you listen to the Shmooze, I want you to know, when you make your next trip to Israel, go to the Western Wall. Go stop by Rabbi Shalom Weiss, by the Chabad Tefillin stand. It is an experience that is well worth experiencing. You'll remember it. Go over to Rabbi Weiss. Send him our regards from Shmooze Radio, from Rabbi Vigler, and from Mitch Zachary. You will not regret this experience of meeting Rabbi Shalom Weiss, a very sincere and dedicated member of our people who means it with all of his heart. Rabbi Shalom Weiss, thank you for joining us here this morning. We are grateful for your time.
My pleasure. Happy Kosher and Pesach to everyone.
Amen.
Happy Passover.
May we all allow our souls to be revealed. May our souls shine not only at the Western Wall, but throughout all the time. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Shmooze with the Rabbi and the CEO. Mitch Zachary is the CEO of Zachary Financial Consultants. And I'm Rabbi David Vigler of Chabad Palm Beach Gardens, where you'll find traditional Jewish values for contemporary Jews just like you. We just finished our interview with the Chabad of the Western Wall Plaza. And moving on from the Western Wall to the next obvious place. What's the next obvious place, Mitch? Puerto Rico.
Oh, Puerto Rico. Okay.
From the Western Wall to Puerto Rico.
My mind doesn't connect dots like you.
We're moving to Puerto Rico. It's Passover around the world. We will be welcoming in just a few short moments Rabbi Mendel Zarchi, the Chabad of Puerto Rico, which was the subject of great devastation from Hurricane Irma. Hurricane Irma really ravaged the island.
Maria.
Was it Maria?
Yeah. We had Irma there.
They were right next to each other, they were like sisters.
Maria is what really did them in.
Yeah. Right, Maria was what did them in. Yeah. So we'll be hearing about the devastation of Hurricane Maria and in Puerto Rico and the rebuilding of the Jewish community there. What Pesach is like in Puerto Rico, coming up right after this. Don't go away.
Are you confused or just plain bored by the new tax laws? The professionals at Zachary Financial Consultants have studied every line of the 1,000-page bill and know all the ways that you can benefit from it, as well as all of the hidden traps you need to avoid. If you're a business owner, you may be able to save tens of thousands of dollars in taxes. But in order to take advantage of them, you may have to make some changes. The professionals at Zachary Financial Consultants can easily guide you through these muddy waters. Having over 37 years of financial experience, the staff at Zachary Financial Consultants include CPAs, certified financial planners, and attorneys. They regularly assist their clients in making sure they're maximizing their after-tax investment performance, that their families are adequately protected in case of a catastrophe, and in providing a customized financial plan which they help to implement and monitor. At Zachary Financial Consultants, every client is treated with personalized care as if they were part of the family. You can speak directly with the CEO, Mitch Zachary, at 561-508-8446 or email him at mzachary@zacharyfinancial.com. They are conveniently located in Palm Beach Gardens and they offer free consultations. That's Zachary Financial Consultants, 561-508-8446.
Lease up to luxury retirement living at the Stephen and Petra Levin Tower at Morse Life. The tower is all about indulgence and luxury, redefining retirement living with amenities that are second to none. Fine dining, a pampering spa, golf memberships, tennis, concierge services, and walking paths for your pet are among the pleasures of living at the tower. For a lifestyle that's first in its class, call 800-49-TOWER. Or visit MorseLifeTower.com and secure your choice of floor plans today.
Welcome back to The Rabbi and the CEO. Watch the show live on Facebook, facebook.com/GardensRabbi. Now, back to your hosts, Rabbi David Vigler and CEO Mitch Zachary.
From the bottom line, good morning and welcome back to the Shmooze with the Rabbi and the CEO. Mick Zachary is the CEO of Zachary Financial Consultants. I'm Rabbi David Vigler of Chabad of Palm Beach Gardens, where you'll find traditional Jewish values for contemporary, cosmopolitan, and sophisticated Jews just like you. Learn more about us online at jewishgardens.com. That's www.jewishgardens.com, where you can join us for the Passover Seder, making sure that no Jew is left behind. Passover Seder at the Chabad of Palm Beach Gardens, as well as for a very, very special event coming up this Thursday night with Jamie Geller, the Queen of Kosher. The Queen of Kosher is performing at the Chabad of Palm Beach Gardens this Thursday night for dinner and a show. Let me tell you, this is a meal you don't want to miss. Not only will she be serving a gourmet kosher dinner, kosher like you've never seen it before, but also she'll be showing us how to do it. It's going to be a presentation cooking show for men and women, as well as a luscious, delicious meal following the cooking demo. And that's taking place this Thursday night at the Chabad of Palm Beach Gardens with Jamie Geller, the Queen of Kosher, showing us that kosher is absolutely awesome. More information at jewishgardens.com/RSVP. That's jewishgardens.com/RSVP. But in the meantime, in our travels around the world from the Western Wall Chabad House, we move now to Chabad of Puerto Rico with our colleague and friend Rabbi Mendel Zarchi on the line. Good morning, Rabbi Zarchi, and welcome to the Shmooze.
Good morning, Rabbi Vigler.
A
you
pleasure.
Said it right. Puerto Rico. You got
Puerto
it.
Rico. There you go, my friend. Awesome. I'm so glad I said that right. Hablamos español. So, piccolo. So, Rabbi Zarchi, welcome to the Shmooze. I know we've sent at least one Hebrew school kid over there to Chabad, Puerto Rico, with one of our families that has a relative down there. Tell us, what is Jewish life like on Puerto Rico?
Well, Jewish life is, you know, it's a small community, but it's a very active community. You know, we just finished morning services. We have daily minyan, so it's just an idea. There's a, you know, significant presence and an active presence. It's a, you know, a combination of people from many different backgrounds. We have people that are originally from South America. We have Americans. We have people of Russian background, very, very diverse community, small, but yet very diverse. And the common denominator that brings everyone together is their Jewishness, of course. We have a number of Israelis that have moved here over the last couple of years. So there is actually a growth that's presently going through the community, which is, you know, makes us all happy.
Rabbi Zalka, this is Mitch Zachary. I'm the CEO. I'm the secular guy on the radio show, trying to find out deeper meaning from what all of you wonderful rabbis know. First of all, where in Puerto Rico are you?
We're located in a multi-located area, which is a combination of tourism and residential area. We're about 5 minute walking from some very strategic hotels near the ocean, about 5 minute drive from the San Juan Airport or less. So we're on the coast, so on the north coast.
On the city of San Juan?
It's actually technically not in the city of San Juan. It borders it. It's called Isla Verde, which is in the city of Carolina. However, the airport, which is just south of Isla Verde, is considered the San Juan Airport. So for a tourist coming in for all practical purposes, you know, they probably think they're going to San Juan, but it's a separate municipality.
Is that the JetBlue airport?
That's the JetBlue, that's the main airport.
That's all we need to know. Right. It's the JetBlue airport. It's next to JetBlue. All right.
So, Rabbi, tell us, what is life like after Maria?
Maria did her thing. She wreaked havoc and destruction and really, you know, did something to the island that the players never experienced. It's still recovering. The there's the haves and the have-nots. There's, you know, more upper areas that have recovered that are in a restoration project, in a restoration reality, whereas many smaller and poorer communities in the mountainous coastal areas, southeast or northwest, are still recovering. There are probably still, 400,000 people here without electricity. So just to give you an idea, there are hundreds of thousands of people that are living without roofs or secure housing. So while there's a recovery underway, there's still that challenge of looking out to the in a more challenging reality. Nearby where we are, for example, some of the main hotels are still closed, so Rescabada, Puerto Rico normally would receive thousands of visitors through the peak seasons of November, December, January. We see nary a person. I mean, really, it's just, our local community has been growing. New people have been moving here. There's a tax incentive locally that is incentivizing relocation to Puerto Rico. So there's a growth in the community. But in terms of people visiting, we encourage all your listeners to come to Puerto Rico. We're waiting for you. But the Ritz-Carlton, that's a very key hotel near us, is closed. The El San Juan.
Wow.
Another key hotel is still closed, but you're talking about over 1,000 rooms within 5 minutes walk.
Wow.
Rabbi Zarchi, as the hurricane was approaching, I think it was right after Irma, as the hurricane was approaching, I know that you managed to get your wife and children out of the island back to safety, but you stayed on the island. Am I correct?
So just to clarify that, my wife and son, who was with us at the time, actually stayed in Puerto Rico for Rosh Hashanah. The hurricane struck at the eve of Rosh Hashanah, and its full wrath subsided about 4 p.m., which was a few hours before Yom Tov. So they were actually present here and stuck through it for the really, really difficult, challenging period. However, most of our children were stateside, and they could not come to Puerto Rico. And they're younger, and we wanted them to be with their mother. They were supposed to be for Shoshana. The flights were canceled. So my wife did travel to New York to be with our children for Yom Kippur and Sukkot, but she was here for Shoshana. The Chabad was open, meals were served. We had a minyan the first day,
wow,
which was an amazing, reality of the Hashgacha Pratit in Providence. People just showed up from the side of nowhere,
blowing shofar amidst the destruction, blowing the shofar amidst the debris. It must have been an unbelievable moment.
Yeah, streets flooded, everything down. It looked like a war zone. And amidst all of that chaos, there was a slight semblance of order going on at the Chabad. And, it was special. It was special. But, challenge and difficult to bring people together in ways that you don't anticipate and expect always, And it was a tremendous unity and a oneness that permeated the community, brought people from around, the world. I mean, I had people from Australia communicating and wanting to contribute and help. You know, it's really fascinating, the reality that sets in, that we're really as spread out as we are, as you know, coming from Purim, we're Ham and Tol Achashverosh, we're Mefuzar Umeforat Ein Amim, but we're an Am Echad, we're one nation, and couldn't have been expressed in a greater way during that very challenging period.
You know, Rabbi, we recently had the Chabad Rabbi from Parkland on the show. And one of the things that I found really striking was when he told us that after the shooting, like the next day and the next couple of days, young teenage boys came to daily minyan to pray. People who would never...
To thank God for surviving.
Just to thank God for surviving. Was it something like that where people started to be circulating there because they were just so thankful to God to survive?
Absolutely. You know, the prayer, the davening in Yom Kippur didn't have the full, you know, participation that it normally would have. Many people managed to get out on chartered flights and all types of stuff. I mean, yesterday there was a total breakdown. There was no electricity, no water, no gas, no communication. But the davening was, there are those that normally wouldn't come that came. And it was just a sense of intensity, of kavanah, of connection. You know, intense introspection, and it was very, very powerful. We had people that stepped in. Many regulars had left. I would say about 50-60% of our stable community had somehow found a way out, and others that were here felt the responsibility and stepped up, whether it was to complete a minyan, to help in many different ways, the relief, look out for more vulnerable members of the community. So people stepped up, and it was very profound, very profound. And talking about Parkland, our colleague in Parkland, you know, had, you know, made some very powerful connections with some of their, you know, some special people that wanted to help in Puerto Rico. So we see how, you know, one looks out to the other. Wow. So you mentioned Parkland, and I felt would be appropriate to mention that he was instrumental in sending a lot of relief towards Puerto Rico and the Caribbean in general.
So even though it's not a large Jewish population there, it sounded like everybody got together, and all the other, many of the other Chabad rabbis around the world were looking to help you any way they can. Is that true?
That is absolutely true.
I remember that the Chabad rabbis here in Florida were working on trying to arrange a boat and generators and different things to be able to get the family out and to get aid into Puerto Rico. I believe it was Rabbi Shalom Katz of Chabad of Fort Lauderdale who was very involved in leading the efforts to help the Chabad of Puerto Rico. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to The Shmooze with the Rabbi and the CEO. Mitch Zachary is the CEO of Zachary Financial Consultants. I'm Rabbi David Vigler of Chabad of Palm Beach Gardens, where you'll find traditional Jewish values for contemporary Jews just like you. Learn about us online at jewishgardens.com. That's www.jewishgardens.com. On the line, live from Puerto Rico, is Rabbi Mendel Zarchi, the director of the Chabad of Puerto Rico, who is standing there in the line of fire, standing there in the aftermath of tragedy of Hurricane Maria, rebuilding the community, refused to leave his post during the destruction, making sure that his family was safe, but also making sure that he was there to tend to the needs of the injured and the needy, those who needed to both spiritual and physical needs taken care of. This is the devotion of the rabbi of the Chabad of Puerto Rico, Rabbi Mendel Zarchi, on the line. Rabbi Zarchi, is it a Sephardic or Ashkenazi community out there in Puerto Rico?
Oh, well, diverse. Ashkenaz, Sephardi.
So it's a mix. Can you tell us any special Passover observances you can share with us from Puerto Rico? Anything unique?
Well, Passover is the time that we get together. We get together as one, and we personify that to a large degree. We had a person participate last year, and we were engaged in the discussion. We had about 205 people present in a room. He was not a very observant person. And amidst the discussion, you know, it came up and said, he said, Rabbi, I may be from, you know, a different affiliation. I mean, I don't even know if he was Reform or very unaffiliated. He says, rather the diversity that's present in this room, you know, from observant to non-observant to formally observant, Israeli, Russian, Latinos. He says, you don't find this type of a diversity under one roof, and everyone is enjoying So, you know, that's as special as it gets, you know. And we can come together and strip away our differences and see the oneness that lies at our core. That is special.
Isn't that nice? It's the same thing. The same point that the rabbi of the Western Wall told us a few moments ago, Rabbi Shalom Weiss from the Chabad of the Western Wall, he also told us that Passover and the Western Wall is about revealing your inner core. It's so interesting how the same inner core, the neshama, was expressed at the Western Wall when you come to the site of holiness. As in Puerto Rico, I told you there's a connection, Mitch. When you come to Puerto Rico and you feel the, you know, the diversity of the culture, or the diversity of the backgrounds of the Jewish people there, and we're all singing the same manishtana, we're all singing the same four cups of wine and the same songs around the Seder table, it certainly brings out the oneness that unites us, and that certainly is the neshama that lies at the core of each and every one of us. Rabbi Zarchi, tell us, what is kosher like on Puerto Rico? If we go there, where are we eating?
Kosher is a challenge here. It's not readily available in the supermarket, other than the standard national brands that you'll find almost anywhere. But you know, when you go beyond that, whether it's you know, dairy products or meat products, poultry, etc. So the address is actually the Chabad. We have a new beautiful center. Part of the center, we have a commissary of, you know, a little grocery where people come in, the community members come in, look at their kosher meat.
Beautiful.
Stuff like that, anything. And, you know, for the tourists that are here and they want a good meal, hot meal, we have kosher ready food available. And that's really it.
So you've got Puerto Rico covered. That's amazing. You got a grocery, you got hot food, you got a restaurant. That's amazing. That's incredible.
Food for the body, food for the soul. Absolutely.
One-stop shop. And finally, last point, Rabbi Zarchi, just to ask you. So what if any precautions are being put in place? You know, you guys are in that hurricane belt for hurricanes coming from the Sahara Desert off to the coast of Florida. What kind of preparations are being spoken about for the future, God forbid, to prevent any hurricanes from coming in the future? Is anything being spoken about? Anything that can be done?
Hurricanes we can't prevent because it's an act of, you know, nature, so that's in God's control. But what we do is we can control our readiness, our preparedness, and I can tell you that the Chabad was prepared and will continue to be prepared. We built a hurricane-proof center because we have a responsibility to the community. When all else fails, we can't afford to fail. We're like that, you know, the lighthouse where people come, you know, in the last resort, but there's nowhere else to turn to. So we have a backup generator here. We have a cistern with water, hurricane-proof windows. The facility had its, you know, its some damage and she was lost, but it was resilient. It was able to withstand the ferocity of the storm. It was open right afterwards, and it was providing food and meals and services. It became a center for relief throughout the island, and we'll continue to be prepared prior to the storm. We stocked up with provisions, you know, knowing that the need will be great, and you need to be prepared. That you can't react, but you need to initiate.
Well said. Chabad is first response, spiritually, first response, physically, and you took that responsibility very seriously, making sure that people had a shelter, where to go, not only to hear the shofar and to experience their spiritual needs, but also for their physical needs, for their food and warmth and shelter as well. Rabbi Mendel Zarchi, thank you so very much for joining us here this morning on Shmooz Radio to join us for Pesach Around the World on our weekly radio show. We're grateful for what you do out there in Puerto Rico. God bless you. May Chayil El Chayil, from strength to strength, may you succeed in all your endeavors.
And a wonderful Pesach to you, to your listeners, to your staff, and you know, may you continue to be able to share your wonderful message with all those. So thank you, and happy Pesach.
Same to you. Thank you so much for your time, Rabbi.
Thank you. Anybody going to Puerto Rico, please look up the local Chabad of Puerto Rico, where you'll find a kosher food restaurant and a very, very warm and welcoming rabbi to be able to make you feel right at home. Because remember, Chabad is like Verizon. Wherever you go, we've got you covered. We'll be right back right after this with more Pesach discussions and conversations coming up right after this. Don't go away.
Plain bored by the new tax laws? The professionals at Zachary Financial Consultants have studied every line of the 1,000-page bill and know all the ways that you can benefit from it, as well as all of the hidden traps you need to avoid. If you're a business owner, you may be able to save tens of thousands of dollars in taxes. But But in order to take advantage of them, you may have to make some changes. The professionals at Zachary Financial Consultants can easily guide you through these muddy waters. Having over 37 years of financial experience, the staff at Zachary Financial Consultants includes CPAs, certified financial planners, and attorneys. They regularly assist their clients in making sure they're maximizing their after-tax investment performance, that their families are adequately protected in case of a catastrophe, and in providing a customized financial plan which they help to implement and monitor. At Zachary Financial Consultants, every client is treated with personalized care as if they were part of the family. You can speak directly with the CEO, Mitch Zachary, at 561-508-8446 or email him at mzachary@zacharyfinancial.com. They are conveniently located in Palm Beach Gardens and they offer free consultations. That's Zachary Financial Consultants, 561-508-8446.
Lease up to luxury retirement living at the Stephen and Petra Levin Tower at Morse Life. The tower is all about indulgence and luxury, redefining retirement living with amenities that are second to none. Fine dining, a pampering spa, golf memberships, tennis, concierge services, and walking paths for your pet are among the pleasures of living at the tower. For a lifestyle that's first in its class, call 800-49-TOWER. Or visit MorseLifeTower.com and secure your choice of floor plans today.
Are you retired or nearing retirement? By now you probably realize that nest egg you had set up is not nearly enough to carry you through retirement. Here's some good news. They specialize in retirement planning, estate planning, income taxation, and investment strategies for people who are retired or approaching retirement looking for ways to maximize their income. It's not too late to get on the right track to financial freedom. Mark Linsky has been a financial advisor since 1986 and carries a certified financial planner's designation and all the tips, tools, and secrets you need to find financial stability. They also focus on 401k plans and passive real estate solutions. So whether you're retired, nearing retirement, or just want to stay ahead of the game, contact Mark Linsky to set up your consultation. 561-328-7391. That's 561-328-7391. US 1 and Donald Ross, right in Juneau Beach.
Investment Group is an independent firm with securities offered through Summit Brokerage Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Summit Financial Group, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Welcome back to The Rabbi and the CEO. Watch the show live on Facebook, facebook.com/gardensrabbi. Now, back to your hosts, Rabbi David Vigler and CEO Mitch Zachary.
Separating the facts from the fiction and the Bubba Mises from the bottom line. Good morning and welcome back to The Schmooze with The Rabbi and the CEO. Mitch Zachary is the CEO of Zachary Financial Consultants. I'm Rabbi David Vigler of Chabad of Palm Beach Gardens, where you'll find traditional Jewish values for contemporary Jews just like you. Learn about us online at jewishgardens.com, where you will learn about your place for the Passover Seder taking place on the last Friday night of March. I think it's March 30th.
Yes.
At the Chabad of Palm Beach Gardens, 6:30 p.m. at the Chabad of Palm Beach Gardens. Join us for the Passover Seder. There's a seat for you, jewishgardens.com/RSVP. That's jewishgardens.com/RSVP. You'll also find an invitation to a very special evening of kosher cuisine with the Queen of Kosher. That is Jamie Geller, who recently moved to Israel. She made Aliyah from HBO producer. She went on to the Holy Land, where she has a reality show documenting her her Aliyah to Israel. And this lady, Jamie Geller, is coming to Florida. She has been on The Tonight Show. She has a whole kosher network of books and cookbooks and all sorts of shows and presentations. She's coming to Florida to Palm Beach Gardens for one night only to present at the Chabad of Palm Beach Gardens, dinner and a show. Join us this Thursday night. It's March 22nd for dinner and a show at the Chabad of Palm Beach Gardens. We would love to see you there. That's jewishgardens.com/RSVP. That's jewishgardens.com/RSVP.
So, Rabbi, I understand that you had a little bit of going on this past week. Maybe you want to share that with our listeners.
What a week, Mitch.
I mean, every week in your life is more than most people could handle. But I think this week you had an especially whirlwind week.
So last week, right after the radio show, I went off to the Hebrew school, which is the most rewarding experience. You know, learning with these kids is just beautiful, inspiring them. And, you know, these kids, you know, Mitch, my Hebrew school class doesn't want to go to recess. What should I do?
I can't even relate to that.
They don't.
I didn't want to go to Hebrew school class.
Hebrew school kids don't want to go to recess. I'm like, kids, it's break time now. They're like, no, can we carry on? I'm like, am I sleeping? Am I dreaming? What kind of Hebrew school kids?
Well, wait a minute. You mean they're not playing with their phones and they're not looking at anything digital?
Mitch,
they're
just let me tell you, sitting
in a room listening?
This is the most rewarding experience, having these Hebrew school kids, and they say to me, Rabbi Finkley, can we study a few more minutes?
Oh, no, come on.
Wow.
I can't believe that.
Wow, this is just beyond belief.
What's the age range?
My class is the pre-bar mitzvah intensive training course. So I've got the boys from ages 8 through 11.
And they want to study more?
Yeah. It's incredible.
You're one of a kind.
It's incredible. We're doing something right. Thank
you. You know, maybe you should be the education secretary.
Oh, isn't that DeVos?
I think you should put it in your resume.
DeVos?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, fine. So let Mr. Donald and Mr. Trump know. Okay, thank you, Mitch. I appreciate the endorsement. In any event, after the Hebrew school, turns out my brother, my youngest brother, he's 9 of 9 siblings, got engaged.
Oh, mazel tov.
9 of 9 siblings, and this is in New York. My parents were there.
Your parents must be thrilled.
Yeah. So basically, my wife told me you should go. Take some
She's
of the
Jewish,
kids.
Right?
She's Jewish, yeah. So my wife says to me, you know, you should go. Take some of the kids with you and go. Go take the kids for the night, you know? And have the kids see the grandparents, you know, because they couldn't come down to Florida. My parents come from South Africa. So I said, Hannah, it's okay. I want to go, but, you know, you're due with our baby today, you know? So she says, just go.
You went on your wife's due date.
Well, it was the day before the due date. I was returning on the due date. Yeah, oh, I was returning on the due date. So,
and as a dutiful wife, she waited for you.
Yeah. Let me tell you. So she told me to go. So I actually called my sisters. And I asked my sisters, listen, my wife wants me to go to New York for the night on her due date. Does that mean she wants me to go, or does that mean she wants me not to go?
Was it a test?
My sisters all said, listen, most women would not want you to go, but your wife is very special. She's a very special lady, and if she said it, that's what she wants you to do. I got on the plane. I flew to New York with
three, four kids. Yeah, I don't think your wife tests you. I think she says what's on her mind.
She says it like it is, and she is a very, very, very strong and special lady. So I went, we celebrated the L'chaim, the engagement of my brother, to a very, very lovely young woman from New York, and we came back the next morning to Florida. We actually kept, by the time we got back, it was actually afternoon, delays and whatever else. But thank God we made it back in time. There was some other snowstorm heading to New York. I had to make it out of New York, you know, in time. I had to be there. And we did it. We did great. We had a beautiful L'chaim engagement party for my brother. Saw my parents. My children saw my parents, which was beautiful. And as we got back, we were bracing ourselves for the arrival of baby number 8, which was really, really special. On Wednesday, we welcomed baby number 8 to our family. Little baby Devorah is named after, our daughter is named after my wife's grandmother, whom I knew very well.
As is our whole Chabad.
The whole Chabad house is dedicated to her memory, to the Rebbetzin Devorah Krinsky. She's the wife of Rabbi Yehuda Krinsky, who is the Rebbe's chief of staff. For 50 years, he was the Rebbe's confidant, and he's today the chairman of the worldwide Chabad movement. His wife is our Bubby, Bubby Devorah, and we named our daughter Devorah after our grandmother, who was a very, very special lady, who was so special. Let me just give you one special thing about our grandmother. She was so special, she allowed her husband to serve the Rebbe humbly and dutifully for over 50 years, to the point that when he failed, this man failed to show up to his own engagement party. Our grandfather was serving the Rebbe. He was taking care of the Rebbe. And he didn't show up to his own engagement party because he was busy. He was helping the Rebbe.
Wow.
Can you imagine what kind of woman she must have been? The patience, the love. That is extraordinary. How many ladies would you have known at that time that would have said, it's over, right? At that point, you didn't show up. It's over. Don't come back, you know?
Well, listen, you're not talking about just I'm working late, I'm having a drink with the guys. You're talking about serving the Rebbe.
Yeah, I mean, but still, you know, still,
that's an honor, really.
The Rebbe had unusual hours. I mean, the Rebbe's hours were sometimes till 4, 5 a.m., 6 a.m.
And then catch the 7 o'clock morning minion.
Well, no, really. I'm not trying to think about the 10 o'clock morning minion. But yeah, it was like, you know, the Rebbe's hours would go till 4, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. That's the kind of wife that she was, so devoted to our people, devoted to making sure that our people would have the pleasure of having the Rebbe being able to speak to us and take care of us. And the Rebbe needed his staff, his people. So that was our grandfather, that is our grandfather, Rabbi Yehuda Krinsky, whose wife, the Bubby Devorah, is who we named our daughter after. Now, what's interesting, I thought it was really nice, is that Devorah, born on Wednesday, is baby number 8 to our family, thank God. So lange gesunte Jahren, many years of health and happiness. And she's baby number 8. Number 8 is the mathematical representation of infinity. You know, when you want to draw the number, mm-hmm. the infinity, you draw an 8 on its side. And she was born on Pi Day. Pi Day, March 14th, which is 314, actually 314.18, which is virtual infinity. It's a number that goes on forever. It's infinity, right? In fact, the number is 3.1415. According to the Egyptian scholars, it's 3.1418, which is interesting, 2018, right? So it's born on Pi Day. I thought that was really nice. And then the best of all was when the nurses asked me, they said, Dad, do you want to know how much he weighs? I said, yeah, tell me. They said, she weighs exactly 770. I said, really? You have no idea what that means to me. 770, of course, 7 pounds and seven ounces. 770 is the address of the Chabad World Headquarters. It is the address of the Rebbe's Shul in Brooklyn, New York, 770 Eastern Parkway. Code for any Chabad house in the world. You'll see a 770 mm-hmm. in their phone number, 770 in their address. That's a secret code for a Chabad house. So yes, Mitch, it's been one amazing week.
So obviously she's blessed, and I wish you all the best. I know our listeners do too. Real quick, we only have 2 minutes, Rabbi. Tell us, what's the experience like for you? Most of our male listeners, like myself, okay, we are almost required, Steve, tell me if this doesn't apply to you too, almost required to be in the delivery room, coaching, helping, giving ice chips, whatever we could do. Where are you, like in a waiting room smoking cigarettes, pacing, like they used to in the 50s? I mean, what is it like for you?
Well, let me say this, that Jewish law is very, very sensitive to the dynamics between a man and a woman. When a man and a woman are allowed to be together, it's amazing. But when they're not allowed to be together, it's also very amazing. You know, when a woman is bleeding, menstrual blood from the uterus, that is a time of when husband and wife are not allowed to be together and are not allowed to be intimate with each other, not even visually. So for a husband is not allowed to even be present in the room whilst his wife is giving birth. And you know what? I think there's a lot of wisdom to that, because you don't want to see what's going on over there. It's a little too intense. TMI, as they say.
How would you know? You never
know. I don't. You know,
Steve,
but,
you there?
But I respect the...
No, I got thrown out.
Really?
Got thrown out. You know what? When they bring the epidural, you know what the epidural is?
Yes.
That's that huge injection.
Yes, out.
When they bring it out, they send the husband out. You know why they send the husband out of the room? They tell me because they can't deal with two patients at the same time.
That's exactly
husbands
right.
Husbands are known to pass out when they see the size of that needle. You know what? I'm outside. I'm praying. I'm saying Tehillim Psalms, which are very powerful words of prayer. I say the Psalms, and I am providing spiritual support. I don't think my wife needs me holding her hand over there.
Knowing your wife, she probably doesn't want you.
She doesn't want me there, exactly.
She could do it without you.
And let me tell you, the joy of holding a healthy baby. As I said yesterday in Shul, we heard from one of our aunts. She said to us that the miracle of a healthy baby never gets old. The miracle of a healthy baby never gets old. We are so grateful to God Almighty for the miracle of a healthy baby that He sent us, and the miracles that we experience each and every single day, as you mentioned before, Mitch, about your tefillin. Just waking up in the morning on the right side of the grass is a miracle in and of itself. Let's not take it for granted. Chevra, let's make an amazing week ahead. Learn more about us online at jewishgardens.com, where you can join us for a special evening on Thursday nights with the cooking queen of kosher cooking. That's Jamie Geller, jewishgardens.com/RSVP. Also join us for the Passover Seder. We'll make sure that we want to make sure that you never left, no Jew left behind. Mitch, have a great week, man.
Shalom.
Thank you for joining us, folks. Bye-bye.